There's a story about Talleyrand, who was a leading statesman during the French Revolution. And a friend of his came up to him one day seeking his advice. This friend had tried to start a new religion, which he believed was a considerable improvement upon Christianity. But he'd met with little success, and he wanted Talleyrand's advice about it. And Talleyrand paused. He admitted that his friend faced formidable difficulties, and he also said he found it very hard to advise him. And then he did suggest one possible plan to his friend. He said, "Why not get yourself crucified and then rise again on the third day?" Well, this is exactly what Christians believe happened to Jesus about 2,000 years ago, and that without it, we wouldn't have a Christian faith. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, expressed it like this: if Christ was not raised, then our gospel is null and void, and so is your faith. A former Archbishop of Canterbury, Arthur Michael Ramsay, once said, "No resurrection, no Christianity." Without the resurrection, Christianity is a fraud. It's a delusion. It's a nonsense. There's a story about one of the French soldiers in the Napoleonic campaign against Russia. A servant came round and gave him a Gospel of John. And a bit later, he tore one or two pages out of the end of the book to light his pipe. Sometime later, the soldier was wounded, and he took out of his bag the book that he'd been given, and he began to read it. And a bit later, the same servant who had given him the Gospel of John came and saw him and offered him another book. And the soldier gruffly refused. He said, "I read the book you gave me before, and I've never read such a sad and disappointing book." Well, the bookman quickly realized what had happened, and he took from his bag an undamaged version of John's Gospel, and he read it to the soldier, this time not ending with the death of Jesus, but rather with the resurrection of Jesus. And it was the first time that the soldier had ever heard the complete story. And this time, it made sense. The gospel story ends with the resurrection of Jesus. And the resurrection is an indispensable part of it. Now, of course, we can't prove the resurrection of Christ. All we can do is suggest to people strong evidence for Christ's resurrection. For the Christian faith is not only a religion of the emotions and of the heart, but also a religion of the mind and of the reason. And the first evidence I want to share with you is that the risen Lord was seen by many witnesses. In our reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, Paul says that the risen Lord Jesus was seen by Peter, James, the apostles, and by 500 witnesses, many of whom were still alive. Now, it could be that if there was only one witness to the resurrection of Jesus, we wouldn't believe that person. But if there are many, then it's far more likely that Jesus really was raised from the dead. One Easter day, a vicar, in the middle of his sermon, stopped and ate a daffodil. Now, if a young boy present returned home to his mother and told his mother that in the middle of his sermon the vicar had eaten a daffodil, it's quite likely that the mother would think her son was winding her up. But if the 300 people present that Easter day morning in the congregation all said that in the middle of his sermon the vicar had eaten a daffodil, well, it's very likely that they would be believed. I enjoy reading, and in my dining room I have three bookcases full of books, and some of them on the cover of the book or on the first page or two have quotations from critics praising the book. And one book, The Soldier's Return by Melvyn Bragg, quotes 18 critics who all praise the book. Now, if just one critic said it was a good book, we might dismiss it. But if 18 different critics say it's a good book, well, we're far more likely to think that there's some substance in their evaluation. In recent years, in the media, a lot has been said about adults abusing children and young people. If only one child was to come forward and to claim that a particular adult had abused him, we might be very sceptical. After all, think of the consequences if you were that adult. You hadn't done anything and you were falsely accused of abusing a child. It would be absolutely terrible. But if three or four children, or many more, came forward and accused the same adult of abusing them, well, it's very likely that we would think there was some substance in their accusation. The first evidence I want to put forward to you is that the risen Jesus wasn't seen by just one person, but by many witnesses. The second evidence I want to share with you is the transformation among the disciples. After Jesus' death, they were dispirited and fearful men. But after they'd seen the risen Lord Jesus, they joyously and boldly preached that Jesus had risen from the dead. In our reading from John's Gospel, we are told on Easter Day evening, the disciples were gathered in a room behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Then the risen Lord came and stood among them, and they were filled with joy. Luke's Gospel tells us that two followers of Jesus were walking back home on the road to the village of Emmaus. They hadn't yet seen the risen Lord, and they were filled with gloom. And someone came alongside them and started talking to them, explaining to them what had happened in recent days. And at the end of their journey, they invited this person into their home to eat with them. And when this person broke the bread before them, they realized who it was. It was the risen Lord Jesus. And then they said to one another, "Didn't we feel our hearts on fire as he spoke to us on that road?" But maybe the clearest evidence for the transformation of the disciples comes in the early chapters of the Acts of the Apostles. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus preaches to a large crowd in Jerusalem, saying that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus has been raised from the dead, and that through the risen Lord Jesus, people can find salvation. A little bit later, Peter and John heal a lame man by the gate of the temple in Jerusalem, and they do it in the name of Jesus Christ. A bit later, they are arrested, and they say to the Jewish authorities that they will not stop preaching the gospel and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The Reverend John Young says that when he was ordained, someone who was ordained with him was called Charles. He'd been a wing commander in the RAF in the Second World War and was a leader of men. And Charles had also been a prisoner of war. And he knew that dispirited people are not people who reassemble and who organize things. When such people have had a shattering blow to their morale, they are very limited in what they can do. They are very dispirited. And so Charles concluded that those disciples who were dispirited and fearful after the death of Jesus must have had a tremendous experience happen to them in order that they could joyfully and boldly preach the gospel to their enemies in Jerusalem. And he concluded that it could only have been one thing that had happened to them, and that was that they had seen the risen Lord. The third piece of evidence is this, that the risen Lord Jesus is still changing lives today. The Reverend John Irving had been a young barrister in London. He'd been a happy heathen, partying his way through life. And then one day, some of his friends challenged him to think about Christ and to examine the claims of Christ. And so he brought his legal mind to examine the New Testament. And after some time, he concluded that Jesus really was whom he claimed to be. And he also concluded that he needed to be reconciled with God. Sometime later, John Irving accepted Jesus as his Lord and Saviour, and he became reconciled to God and found peace with God. David Lie was a gambling addict for about 30 years. His addiction began when he was 13 in Hong Kong, and it reached its peak when he came to London in 1979. On one occasion, his wife gave him some money to return to Hong Kong to visit his wife's sick mother. But instead of using that money to buy an aeroplane ticket, David Lie spent the money in gambling. He let down his family. He owed money to his bank, and he felt like killing himself. His wife, in desperation, turned to a Christian gambling recovery center, and there the staff prayed for David Lie. They explained the Bible to him, and David Lie felt his sins lifted from him. David Lie puts down his recovery from gambling and the change in his life to the risen Lord Jesus coming into his life. The risen Lord Jesus still changes lives today. I cannot prove that Jesus rose from the dead. All I can do is share with you some strong evidence which indicates that the resurrection is true, and say to you that I believe that the resurrection is true, and then, guided by the Spirit, you have to come to your own faith. Amen.